Joining us now for the other side is Mahesh Jethmalani. Thanks, Mr. Jethmalani, for joining us. Let's look at one of the key issues, offences against the state. Now, offences against the state, sedition, that's been replaced by a new offence. It's been defined in, I think, Section 152, and it comes under the title of an act endangering sovereignty, unity and integrity of India. This section of the new law penalizes activities that cause subversive activities or encourages feelings of separatist activities or endangers, for example, the sovereignty and integrity of India. While the word sedition, and this is my question, is no longer there, is there anything in this new provision that makes it qualitatively different?
Yeah. Vishnu, if you recall, the old sedition section, it really smacked of, colonial master convenience. For instance, it said that you cannot excite disaffection against the government by law established, which was the British colonial government in those days. So anything which caused disaffection towards the British government was punishable as sedition. Now, from the government of the day, that's the crucial actual change, right? The tenor has shifted to the Indian state, not a government which would be a democratically elected government today, not the government in power in independent India, but if it undermines the Indian state, right, which we all, which is politically neutral. So that, and as you pointed out, there are a number of activities which come under this umbrella of undermining the sovereignty or integrity of the Indian state. So it could be subversive activities, it could be, secessionist claims, anything which undermines the unity, right, or integrity of the country. So it takes within its sweep a host of activities, all of which are enumerated in the section and which you just read out.
Mr. Jethmalani, on the issue of relationships, Section 69 of the Bhartiya Nyaya Sanhita says, whoever by deceitful means or by making a promise to marry a woman without any intention to fulfill the same and has sexual intercourse with her shall be punished with imprisonment of either, which could extend up to 10 years and shall also be liable for a fine. The question that's asked therefore is that not excessive, particularly since relationships end up breaking up all the time? And if this is to be followed strictly, the system would be overburdened by lakhs of cases of people saying, send my ex-lover to jail.
Vishnu, this was a construction by the courts, and particularly it went up to the Supreme Court in a number of cases, right, where they took differing views, and finally you could find some discerning, firm reasoning as to when this would apply, as to when this kind of an offence would apply. But it was done within the purview of the rape offence, right? So since rape required consent of a woman, right, or an absence of consent constituted rape, right? What the courts did was, they said that, if you entice a woman to enter into sexual intercourse with you on the basis of a promise to marry, that vitiates her consent and hence it's rape, right? Now, it's very difficult to find some consistent reasoning in the judgments of the Supreme Court on this subject. It started in 2003, this line of reasoning about, vitiating consent by giving a promise to marry before entering into a sexual relationship with a woman. And it went on right till 2023. The last judgment, I believe, is of the Supreme Court of Justice Oak. Now, what the Sanhita has done, right, is that it has taken it out of rape and it's made it a separate offence. As you pointed out, the offence under Section 69, right? They've said sexual offence by enticing a woman on the promise of rape and so on and so forth. But it was already there. The Supreme Court had already declared this to be, yes, within the definition of rape, right? Strictly speaking, it didn't, but they had to say it vitiated consent. So now it's been made explicit that what it really is, that if you entice somebody, right, to have sexual intercourse with you, a woman to have sexual intercourse with you, right, but you never intend to carry out that promise. Now, that's different, right? Breakups happen, as you pointed out. So the law takes care of that eventuality. If somebody enters into a relationship, and this is ongoing for some time, right? And suddenly he has a change of heart, or, you know, he has some parental problem, or he falls in love with somebody else, right? Now, these are natural tendencies and, you know, examples in society. So then the offense will not apply. 69 will not come into play, right? Something like that also happened under the old rape law under the IPC. But assuming it can be proved that a man promised a woman to marry, right? And he never intended, for instance, he was married already. Either he couldn't or he didn't for some reason ever intend to keep that promise, right? If that can be established, then 69 comes into play.
On the issue of marital rape, how would you respond to those who say that the Sanita this time should have done more to recognize the bodily integrity and sexual autonomy of women by criminalizing marital rape?
But, you know, I think that there was some discussion on this, right? But what actually happened was, ultimately, they found that the sanctity of the family, of the institution of marriage, right, prevailed. I mean, maybe this is a subject which is not, this is an issue or an offense whose time has not yet come in India. But at the moment, it was felt that prevailing morality, right, required a premium on the sanctity of the marriage and the family generally, where there were children. So they decided to keep marital rape out.
You know, if we're talking about the rights of women or sexual assault, in whichever way, shape or form it is, we have had this word outraging the modesty for generations. In fact, the Justice Verma Committee had suggested that the section of the IPC which refers to outraging the modesty of a woman should be removed and the term sexual assault should be used instead. Is there enough of a departure in the new laws, or are we still operating on these old time-tested notions of chastity, honor, modesty?
Yeah, I think honesty and chastity are not the issue. But modesty means, I guess, just, you know, the dignity of the word modesty here is synonymous with dignity. And ultimately, this comes under, you know, a chapter about sexual offenses against women, right? Outraging the modesty is only one species. It's actually subsumed in a chapter dealing with sexual offenses against women. So I don't think we have to read too much into it. Perhaps this sounds a little Victorian, which was when the law IPC was passed and 354 was enacted. But I don't think that, if you just see that her sense of decency, her sense of dignity, and that's what modesty should be construed as being.
One final question to you on the entire issue of criminalization of abortion. You know, there are good reasons in our country why abortion has been criminalized. There have been cases when women have been forced to abort for all sorts of reasons. You know, same-sex determination is something which has been, a huge peril in India. But some would suggest that if we continue to have this law in the same way, those women who voluntarily choose, to go about with an abortion on the basis that it's my body and therefore my right, needed to have been protected. So was this a missed opportunity?
Yes, but I think that's not governed so much by the Sanhita as it is governed by the Medical Termination of Pregnancy Act. That's a separate statute. This is not really the subject matter. So that question, all those questions are dealt with by the NTP.
All right, sir. Thanks very much for being with us. So there you have it, the new criminal laws in the country. Two very divergent opinions from two of our leading lawyers. Dr. Abhishek Manu Singhvi says that it's eyewash, nothing much has really taken place. A couple of terms have been added. The rules and the laws are essentially the same. But Mahesh Jethmalani over there taking on questions on a lot of the points which the opposition has raised on sedition, on the use of the word modesty, on abortion. Very different perspectives over there. We'll take a short break. More coming up right here on NDTV.